right, welcome to week 8, Primetime Props. I'm Jeff Edelstein, back from my 1 week suspension for playing poker with a couple NBA players. I can't really talk about it right now. I'm under my lawyers explained to me to keep my mouth shut. But I'm back, joined, of course, by Justin Carlucci, Keith Eister, Justin Bales. Those are the experts on the schmuck. And then we're going to go game by game for the main slate on Sunday. We're going to find all the big props to hit. And then at the end of the show, we're going to go through them one by one, and we're each going to pick out our favorite prop of the week. How are we doing this today, boys? Doing good?
Yeah. I thought you were suspended for spitting. Here, I guess you were just playing cards. I'm shocked.
Yeah. I mean, I was pulling people in. I had my X-ray glasses on. It's a whole thing. All right, let's kick this off. We're going to Carolina, one of the few road favorites this week. The Buffalo Bills, fresh off their bye, 7.5-point favorites against the. I'm going to call them the Pesky Panthers now because they're playing not terrible football. Total, relatively healthy, 46.5. I don't know, Bales. There's a couple things that you like here, huh?
Yeah, I'm sticking 100% on Buffalo side. I don't really want to touch Carolina with Andy Dalton. Bryce Young, obviously, just ruled doubtful. He was never really going to play in this game. On the Buffalo side, I think, number one, Dalton Kincaid. We know how bad Carolina is against tight ends. Buffalo is the kind of team that can get him the ball. The only issue that I really have is a potential blowout. And more on that end, I also like James Cook. I think that it's just a relatively low total for his rushing yards if they're kind of just going to pound the ball with him. So I do like Kincaid. I think that he's a solid option. I think his yards were at like 36.5. It's just too low because obviously they're going to be throwing the ball early on, and tight ends are so good against Carolina. But he's a solid option. Cook at, I believe it was 76, which is pretty low. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but pretty low, even though Carolina's not, you know, last year's run defense hasn't moved to this year. They're a lot better in that aspect, but still Cook's a very good running back, and he's probably going to see, you know, upwards of 20 carries in this type of game script.
And you get him at 71.5 in some spots there. You say you're only on the Bills side. I am wondering though, Bryce Young has regressed to, you know, the glimpse of greatness that we saw at the end of last season has a long ago memory now. Is it possible that, you know, this is like a Joe Flacco type situation where, you know, the wily veteran comes in and you know, takes his team maybe up a notch? Maybe, you know, anyone have their eyes on Mr. McMillan?
You go ahead. If you like him, go ahead.
I keep going back to the well. Like, eventually the game is coming. I feel like a crazy person, and I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over. And he's been fine. But we're almost at the end of October. I was expecting one explosion game just with so much talent he has and the negative game scripts that Carolina's been in at times. The Bills' defense stinks. I have to check their injury report and see who's still out, but they've been banged up all year. So I'm fine with going back to Tet. Eventually, he's going to go ballistic, and maybe a quarterback change can unlock him. You know, which version of Andy Dalton are we going to get? He made Adam Thielen relevant for a while in the last couple of seasons. So I think in a game like this that there's a chance that Andy Dalton can support McMillan. Go ahead, Keith. What do you think? Oh, sorry, I forgot, Bills. Go ahead. You're the local Panthers guy down there, so – I'll let you piggyback off that.
If you want to throw like McMillan, I'm fine with it. I don't think like Bryce Young to Andy Dalton at the moment is like this absurd downgrade or anything. Dalton has, you know, stuck around, proven he's viable. The weird thing about Bryce Young when you watch him play is that he'll make occasionally a play that's like a top five quarterback in the NFL playmate, and then he'll make one that like a high schooler would make. And it's so inconsistent, but I do feel like the ceiling kind of helps someone like McMillan, whereas like Andy Dalton, I feel like for as long as they're possibly capable of doing it, with the score kind of staying in hand, don't you think that they're just going to hand that ball to Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle? Like, they're not going to let Dalton throw it 40 times unless like Buffalo gets out 14-0, 21-0 in the first quarter, and then they have to just throw a ton. They're just going to hand that ball off to Dowdle, I think.
I feel like this game could be over like by 3:30 Eastern. You know, like if both teams do what they want to do, I think, which is like just, you know, run the shit out of the ball.
I want to be on the Panthers running game so bad, but Canales is kind of making it impossible. Last week it was almost a perfect split right down the middle. Dowdle played 46% of the snaps and rushed it 17 times. Chuba played 54% of the snaps and rushed it 14 times. The efficiency was far different, though. Dowdle 4.6 yards a carry, Chuba 2.2 yards a carry. Like, what are we doing here? Rico Dowdle has absolutely smashed for 3 weeks in a row, and I'm still not sure he's going to see more than 50% of the snaps. If I knew he was getting 60% of the snaps in this spot, his rushing line sitting at 48.5 yards. We also have the game script to worry about. If the Panthers can't keep it within one score, maybe they do turn to the pass a little bit more. But Buffalo's been extremely vulnerable on the ground. They're allowing the most yards per carry in the league, 5.8 yards per carry. The Bears are next most at 5.3. So they're like significantly allowing the most efficient rushing to opponents. I think Dowdle's good. And 48.5 is too low if he can get the volume.
Let's throw an idea out here. What if we lean into the idea that Canales gets religion and we start looking at the Dowdle alts that go all the way up to 125 yards on FanDuel at 1,500?
I can't do it, but the Bills.
I'm not going to say to go all the way there, but I mean, you know, if you think Dowdle's going to get more work this week, I mean, 70 yards is 225. You know,
he was going to get more work. Wouldn't have been last week. You know, they did that vague coach speak thing where we made an internal decision. It's like, all right, like, what are you trying to establish here? Chuba Hubbard's a fine running back. What they should do, I'm playing armchair GM here, is sell high on Dowdle, right? He's a fine running back, but you could probably get some decent draft compensation because we're at an anomaly type of like point in the season where there are multiple teams desperate for running backs. Like, their value to have a good running back probably won't get any higher than it is right now. I mean, look at all the rumors with Breece Hall and everything, and Keith, you're a Bears fan, and despite Manungai looking good and Swift looking good, there's still people thinking that the Bears are going to go out and get someone, and maybe they will, but honestly, like, that's like not a point the Bears need to worry about right now. I'm getting a little bit off on a tangent here, but yes, it would be a delight if they would just discard one of these fine running backs to make our lives easier so we can take some ridiculous alt lines against a vulnerable defense. And I will say I feel bad for Buffalo because they just can't get healthy at the same time. Ed Oliver missed a lot of time, and he was a big issue not having him up front. He's back. And then Matt Milano, you know, was out for a couple of weeks. He logged a couple limited practices. He didn't practice in full. He's truly questionable. Daquan Jones is out. I mean, he's like their, you know, number two D tackle and not really a household name, but he's been around the league for a while and is a big deal when you're trying to stuff, you know, the guys up front. So I'm with you guys. Keith, I'm with you. You know, it's tough to really have conviction behind either one of them when, you know, from the real-life X's and O's standpoints, they are thrilled to have two guys that are productive right now, I suppose, and keeping fresh legs in there. So just a really tough spot. I just want to circle back to James Cook. The Panthers, you know, you mentioned they were pesky, Jeff, and according to Fantasy Points, they have the – oh, where are we here? They have a very high – the second-best stuff rate in the league right now. I mean, I know advanced analytics aren't everything, but they've definitely held their own against the run. So I'm in terms of like James Cook, I kind of like, you know, having a little fun with it and maybe doing a little two touchdown James Cook play, you know, sprinkle something in there just from a game script perspective. I mean, when they get inside the 10, you know what they're going to do. They have one of the highest run rates in the league inside the 5 and the 10. So I do understand for sure that game script is a huge deal. And, you know, unless Andy Dalton has a rabbit in the hat and you know, rewinds the clock about 10 years, they should be playing ahead in this one.
All right. Well, listen, if you thought Buffalo Carolina was going to be a barn burner, wait until I tell you about the next game. Bengals, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Jets, 44.5 total. In our little pregame chat here, nobody had much to say about this. So I'm going to throw something out there, and I'll let someone jump in. How about Joe Flacco over 35 and a half attempts? Can we start there?
You have the floor.
Well, I just think the Bengals are going to throw the ball. I mean, that's the only – I think that's the way they're going to win or try to win. And
they can't run it, so that makes sense.
I mean, you know, I mean, they were – how many – what did Flacco have last week? 50 dropbacks, if I'm not mistaken? Was that the number? I'm not sure. But, I mean, that's a pretty healthy yardage prop there. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to throw the shit out of the ball, like, all day long. So, yeah, that's – so I'm gonna throw it out there. Flacco over 35 and a half pass attempts, which is a pretty hefty number, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I like your thinking, though. Their run game has been pretty much non-existent all year long. I've been begging for the short passing game to Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Flacco has completely unlocked that. 16 receptions last week, 10 the week before that. The line is – we were begging for over 5.5 a couple weeks ago. We're all the way up to a 7.5 on the receptions line for Ja'Marr Chase. I still like the over there. Just the thing that made sense to me with their quarterback going down – is to just throw it to your playmaker in the short areas of the field and let him make plays after the catch. They've seemed to lean into that recently. So I like Ja'Marr Chase over reception still.
Bales, anything for this game?
I think Keith kind of said it well. I think Chase receptions is fine. I don't love anything personally. I think if you love pain, Mason Taylor, again, you can go back to the well there. He's good. It's just this Jets offense is like one of the worst things we've literally ever seen. Last week, obviously, he had Carolina and didn't do overly well. Now he gets an even better matchup. Cincinnati's basically been like the worst defense in the NFL against tight ends for like years now. They're literally the worst this year. I think they were like bottom three last year. Taylor is like reasonable. Like the kid is pretty good. If there was like any semblance of an actual NFL offense in New York, I would be hammering his overs. But you know, I played him last week in a great matchup and got burned because it's like not even a college offense at this point. Like it's so bad.
Yeah. I don't think Tyrod Taylor's going to add much to the soup here, right?
Yeah, I don't think Fields is the issue. I don't think Fields is like great, but I don't. But the offense is atrocious. They can't develop quarterbacks. There's no certainty around anything. Like it's just all of it's bad.
Yeah. All right. This game's making me upset.
Yeah, well, let me make you sad just for a little bit longer here, but not really. You might like this one. The Bengals, despite not having Joe Burrow, despite having piss-poor quarterback play with Browning for weeks, and part of this is because, like we alluded to, the run game has been pretty bad until last week, but they are passing at the second-highest neutral rate in the league, and when they're leading by seven or more, they're still passing at the second-highest rate in the league per fantasy point. So I like what you're – I'm picking up what you're putting down there. If you like a little narrative, don't forget it is a slight Joe Flacco revenge game. But I love what he said in one of his press conferences this week, that he's one of us, man. Like, he misses his family. I don't know if you guys caught this, but he said there is something just so – I don't know what the quote was, but we'll say riveting about sitting at the bar alone and having a beer and dinner by yourself, you know, alone, away from the family. And, you know, no slight to Joe Flacco's family. But I think we can all – you know, relate to that, you know, it's nice to just kind of, if you have a moment, get out to a happy hour and just take a deep breath and watch Around the Horn, RIP, on mute, you know, while the bartenders are setting up for the night shift and you have a draft beer in your hand. So.
Sounds like we got Flacco. Big Joe Flacco fan up there, huh?
Yep, for sure. Yep.
Well, he's from like the middle of Pennsylvania, right?
He went to Delaware, you know.
I think he grew up somewhere in Pennsylvania. We'll have our fact check team handle that later. All right, let's go to Baltimore, where the Ravens with Lamar Jackson questionable but looking like he's going to play. Touchdown favorites over the visiting Bears. Healthy total here. Did I write 46.5 or 49.5? Either one. Relatively healthy. I can't remember my own handwriting. Keith, you like the tight ends here, both sides.
I do. It's National Tight End Week, right?
That's right.
Got off to a good start on Thursday night. Hit a first touchdown bet on Aronde Gadsden. So we're going to keep the theme rolling with tight ends. Cole Kmet out for the Bears. We've been waiting for the Colson-Loveland game, and I feel like this has got to be it. It's a good matchup, too. Baltimore's given up the 6 most yards per game to tight ends. Loveland's receiving line sitting at 29.5 yards. Even after Kmet got ruled out, I'm still seeing that number out there. So super talented prospect, just hasn't been able to get on the field, has dealt with injury a little bit. I think this is the week he breaks out. I like the latter on Loveland, up to 60 yards at least. I would say I could go on that, but over 29.5 receiving yards for sure. On the other side, Isaiah Likely played 81% of the snaps last week. He runs 76% of his routes from the slot, where the Bears have been absolutely torched this season. Part of that has been because Kyler Gordon has been out for several weeks. He came back last week. He's out again. The Bears are actually now without their top 3 cornerbacks. Jalen Johnson and Tyree Stevenson also still out. I just don't know how they're going to slow down this Ravens passing attack. You can get a plus number on Likely over 2.5 receptions. I love that one a ton with him running out of the slot. And now that the corners have been rolled out as well, I like some Zay Flowers overs as well. The Bears have also been bad against the run, so Derrick Henry could smash in this spot. I just, with the injuries in the secondary to the corners of the Bears, I just don't know how they stop the passing game. So pick your poison. I think the Ravens are going to put up a ton of points in this spot. I was on Likely before the corners got rolled out, still on him. I like Flowers overs now. I like Henry overs too, if you want to go that side.
Bells?
Yeah, I think Loveland's a really good call. That's probably going to end up being one of my favorite plays. I think that it's just a really good spot for him. I have no major issues with like any of the Baltimore receivers. I think if you want to take basically anything on Lamar Jackson, 100% feel free. They should be able to throw the ball as much as they want. The only major issue with that is that they should be able to run the ball as much as they want as well. And sometimes, you know, you just kind of take the path of least resistance. Lamar is actually set in the high 20s for his rushing yards. I don't think that this is necessarily a spot where they use his legs as much as humanly possible. Like, they're pretty big favorites. It is against Chicago. But when's the last time we got Lamar in the 20s for his rushing yards? And realistically, I highly doubt Baltimore is just throwing him out there unless he's like at least relatively close to 100%. So I think that he's a solid option. I think that Derrick Henry, I do believe his it's a little high. I think it's like right around 100, which is a little rich. I would have liked to get it earlier in the week. I saw it at 86 at one point.
There's an 89.5 out there still, but that was the reason I didn't flock to that one right away too. It's a pretty big number. I think it's a great spot for him, but it is a big number.
Yeah, I think that Keith basically nailed it in. This is kind of like the first week that, you know, we're obviously getting Lamar Jackson back, and it's just an elite spot for Baltimore to put up points. And I think that's basically what they're going to do. How they do it, I think, is their choice. It's always tough. And like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like great analysis on my end to be like, hey, just so you know, they can do anything they want, and I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen, but like, they legit can do it. I don't feel strongly that they're just going to ride Derrick Henry and not throw the ball. I don't feel strongly that they're going to solely throw the ball, you know, like they're going to use both, and it's kind of whatever works best. They're probably going to go with.
I legitimately feel the exact same way. It's dealer's choice here. Whatever they want to do, they're going to be able to do.
I think you're going to see both, honestly, because you know, this is a clearly a must win game for this team. They're 1-5. They still have designs in the playoffs. If I'm Harbaugh, I'm running the score. I want my team to come back, you know, the clubhouse, you know, after hanging, you know, 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's also a spot where you can be like you can build it for the team as well. You can be like, yeah, okay, we're not in a position that we want to be in, but Lamar's been out in his first game back. We just dropped 6 touchdowns. Like, now we can do this, and you know, everyone's hyped up and whatnot. And I do think that their defense is like
healthy,
legitimately not good because they're so injured. And it's not that I think that like Chicago is this awesome team or whatnot, but they can put up points. Baltimore, we obviously know, has struggled against the run, and Swift has been looking decent. He's losing snaps, obviously, to Menungai, who also looks very good. I would like to see the yards on them. They didn't have Menungai earlier in the week when I looked. But as long as he's like in the 20s, maybe low 30s, I think that you can take a shot at him as well.
coming out of the bye, the Bears have been awesome on the ground. I don't know if it's the offensive line change or if it's part scheme change or what it is, but they fixed something over the bye. They inserted a new left tackle, and it's been wheels up for them on the ground.
I just think that Lamar is going to make such a difference. Wow. Killer analysis, right? But especially for Derrick Henry, across the entire year, Chicago's given up the highest rate of yards before contact per attempt. I mean, I can't name another running back in the league that, you know, I would want to bet on more with a full head of steam most frequently, you know, than Derrick Henry. That being said, the last 2 weeks, they've been very good, but you put some context behind it. You know, they played the Saints 1 week. Their offense is a mess. They can't run the ball. And the Commanders, I don't know what the hell that run game was when Bill was a mess that week. So I think the jury's kind of still out, but, you know, it's not the sexy answer, but I think it's a big Derrick Henry week.
Yep. He's also 6K on DraftKings, so 99% of people are going to be playing him as well.
I hate that so much.
I mean, nobody – I mean, I could be 6K on DraftKings at this point. All right, now we're back to another shitty game. We're going to New England. Patriots, 7-point favorites over the Browns, 40.5 total. Again, in our pregame chat, nobody had anything to say. You know, Mom always said, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'm guessing that's where we're at with this game. The Browns have a very good defense. Judkins last week, you know, I mean, he found the box three times. He had one beautiful run, but other than that, he was kind of like a little disappointing, I thought, overall, you know, on the running game. And, you know, the Patriots are no slouch. I expect the Patriots to win this game relatively easily, but I also, this game feels, you know, 20-6 written all over it.
I just want to quickly add that if you like this nice interface we have here, these are our live odds on props, our comparison tool. It's brand new and it's completely free. So if you have 7 different apps on your phone and you're trying to find the best line or you're in a hurry to put something in before the market moves, this is where you want to be. Check it out. You can find it at props.com, just like all of our content, completely free. This is such an awesome tool. There are plenty of tools like this across the industry. I will say not many of them are completely free. So check it out. You got pretty much all the major markets. You can see all the books right here. I just want to show this off real quick because it is awesome and such a time saver. Not only do you have to open up every sports book, but then you got to, you know, do your 2-time verification and enter your code, which I am grateful for the security, obviously, you know, because, you know, maybe Chauncey Billups is trying to get in my account. I don't know. But regardless, check this out. Live odds, NFL. You have all the major markets. It's awesome. If you guys like it, please hit that like button. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. We're in there chopping it up from time to time. And thank you for listening to my TED Talk. Keith, go ahead. I'll throw it over to you.
I was just going to say, the problem I have with this game is I think both of these teams just want to run the football, and both of these teams have a really good run defense. So, like, it's kind of strength on strength here. What's going to give? If I was making a bet as to which running back was going to have success, it would be Judkins. Ramondre Stevenson played 75% of the snaps again last week. So we're not even getting the dynamic explosive running back here. It's just the plotter, Ramondre Stevenson. I can't bet on him against the Browns. Judkins' numbers down to 66.5. But again, Cleveland's just been so good against the run. New England's allowed the 3rd fewest rushing yards, Cleveland the 4th fewest. So two top 5 run defenses here. Not finding anything to like there. If I had a lean in the game, it would be Stephon Diggs' receptions. He's still only running 60% of the routes, but when he's out on the field, he's getting looks. He's 27% first read rate, almost 22% target share. So even though he's not out there full time, he's the first read a lot of the times when he is on the field. So reception sitting at 4.5 for Steph Diggs. I like that.
Got anything, Bells?
Yeah, this game's awful. I mean, Judkins is the obvious option, but New England has such a good run defense. I think it's hilarious that last week Henderson played, I think it was a total of 1 more snap than Terrell Brown. Granted, obviously he came in with the backups when Dobbs came in. It's not like I'm not running a gotcha here, you know, Terrell Brown's over Henderson. It's just hilarious that prior to that, they literally couldn't even get Henderson 10 snaps. I think he ended the game with 8 snaps. Like, it, just an embarrassing display by New England.
Is that a trend, or like, is it the under the play here, or do you think they're going to like work to get him more involved as a result? I guess.
Dude, I have no clue. It's like we saw, everyone saw how explosive he was. And like Stevenson constantly is just fumbling the ball. And then Rabel's like, you know what this offense can use? 3.5 yards a carry on a guy who might fumble every 6 or 7 touches. Like that, it, I can't even begin to guess what like their game planning throughout the week has to be to not be able to get Henderson even on the field.
It's classic Mike Vrabel. That's just all that is. That's Mike Vrabel. He's going to play the veterans even if they stink. I lived through the Titans Cody Hollister seasons because he could apparently block so much better than everyone else. So very disappointing. I mean, it's clear who the best runner is, who the biggest athlete is. And at this point, you can't even say that you trust Stevenson more, because that's kind of ludicrous at this point, like you were saying. The only thing I have to add is I think Judkins is actually a good running back. I know it's a tough matchup, but among any running backs with at least 50 carries, he's 13th in yards after contact per attempt. So, yeah, New England has a very stout front seven, but he's a talented runner. I'm glad we're getting to see him play football this year. And what's the over-under on when we're going to see another quarterback change in Cleveland? It has to be coming. I know last week we saw some weather, and it was just maybe the most miserable game of the entire season, which says a lot, because the entire world just witnessed Carson Wentz on primetime last night, and I still think that Dolphins-Browns game might have been worse than that. But when are we going to see a quarterback change, Keith? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not sure that they really like Shador. So, I think they're just going to kind of ride out Gabriel for at least a few more weeks. Maybe towards the end of the season we see him, but I don't think it's soon, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's soon either. Although when they do it, I am looking forward to hitting those unders, because I don't think he has the – I mean, clearly every team – was on the same page and thinking that he's not NFL material, right? And like, you know, does he even get drafted if he wasn't, you know, if he didn't have the pedigree? I mean, or would he have been drafted higher? Who knows? I guess we'll all find out eventually. All right, if you like low totals, have I got one for you? 41.5. Texans, 2.5-point favorites, which I think is catching everyone a little by surprise over the Niners. That one's in Houston. Keith, do you think Woody Marks is going to take control of this backfield?
I sure do. We've kind of been seeing that trend trickle. It's been trickling that way for a few weeks now. Now, they did play from a massive hole last week, so maybe he saw the field a ton because of that. So there is a little bit of concern here still, but the snap share last week was heavily in Marks' favor, 63% of snaps compared to only 25% for Nick Chubb. The lines are so low on Woody Marks that even if he goes back to that 40% role that he's been in for a couple of weeks, I still like the overs here. San Francisco is without Fred Warner now. They haven't been that good of a defense in the first place. They lost Bosa a couple weeks back as well. So Woody Marks is at 34.5 rushing yards. I like the over there, and I really like the over 15.5 receiving yards. I know he has the receiving role at minimum, and with no Warner chasing the running back around, I like that over 15.5 receiving yards a lot.
Bales, if you have something, speak now or hold your peace. I'm at a loss for this game.
I think McCaffrey's interesting. I do think that Houston has a good run defense, or I do think that Houston has a really good defense overall as well. But McCaffrey's receiving yards, you can't set them high enough because he's a running back. But he's not even really a running back. It's like an impossible thing. He has 8 or more targets in all but one game. In the one game that he didn't get 8, he had 7. We've seen him get as many as 14. I don't really think that's going to be the case, because obviously San Francisco's receiving group between Kittle and everyone is getting a little bit healthier, so they don't need to just chuck it to McCaffrey all the time. But like when you look at what he's doing, it's generally running back routes, but he already has 2 targets deeper than 20 yards down the field. I mean, I don't have the numbers on me, but like most running backs won't even have 1 on the season. They'll throw it, you know, 10 plus yards down the field to him. A lot of his stuff is past the line of scrimmage, but still super low A dot. So he's connecting on the majority of these, and obviously just if you have a running back at receiver, it's basically the biggest mismatch that you can get in the NFL. Low 40s, again, it's too low. I believe that he's beaten that. Yeah, he's pretty easily cleared that in every game this season, 50-plus in every game. I understand it's a tough matchup, but I don't know. I've pretty much hit this every single week so far, and I'm probably not going to stop this week.
Luch, anything grab your eye?
You know, the Texans' offensive line is atrocious. And, you know, coming from a Titans fan, I know bad line play when I see it. CJ Stroud just looks so uncomfortable on top of knowing the pressure is coming. I mean, we saw Carson Wentz. You know, CJ Stroud is the next closest quarterback to seeing ghosts every week, I feel like. That being said, if Nico Collins doesn't play, which I don't know what the official word is, if he's definitely out or not, do we have word on that yet? But regardless, whenever I see, you know, fairly low receiving lines and guys who might play 80% of the snaps, I'm interested in a ladder because it's football and there's broken plays and missed tackles. So I think Higgins and Noel are both interesting in their own right. I thought Noel
Collins and Kirk both out for sure.
Okay, well, that's extremely interesting if you want to sprinkle some Sunday night pizza money on, you know, some alt lines for Noel or Higgins. I thought Noel was more interesting last week because Higgins didn't really run out of the slot. Noel played a lot of his, you know, the snaps he did play was all from the slot. So I was kind of leaning Noel last week when Kirk was out. He had one big catch, you know, which was nice. And this week, I think they're both in play. I think, you know, the Jaden Higgins best ball drafters might finally find some good fortune here. The 49ers defense, for how banged up they've been. I mean, they've been all right. I kind of hope Robert Saleh gets another chance to coach somewhere other than the Jets, because I just think you could throw anyone's tenure out the window who has tried to coach the Jets because it's just a mess. I mean, maybe with the exception of Adam Gase. He's pretty bad. So I do have some interest in those low numbers. And, you know, the Houston run game hasn't been good all year. I wish we could get Mike Vrabel in New England on the Texans, like, schedule of incorporating their rookies with Woody Marks. I think what they're doing is acceptable. They know his strengths. They're playing him in some of the negative game scripts. He's getting some opportunities. Of course, we want to see more. But, like, this is crazy to say, but Travion Henderson should be in a Woody Marks role at a minimum, and he's not. I think it's ridiculous.
That sounds ridiculous, dude.
It does.
Is it going through, though?
It's 100% true.
I agree.
You're it absolutely spot on.
Hilarious.
No, the most ridiculous thing I've said this year was that Harrison Bryant should be – his prop was like 4.5 receiving yards that week, and I laddered him, and he dropped that wide-open pass. I don't know if you guys remember that week. Harrison – who was the other tight end Houston had? But I was like, oh, imagine if Harrison Bryant is in the Brevin Jordan role or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, the Kane – this is the Kane Stover role?
Yeah.
Kane Stover, yes. That was the most ridiculous thing I've said this year. So, anyway – there let's get go. On with media, please, for love of God. We're going to lose viewers. Get me out of here, Jeff.
All right, let's go to Atlanta. The Falcons are 7.5-point favorites over the visiting Dolphins, 44.5 total. Everyone and their mother knows what the Falcons want to do in this game. Bale's going to start with you. You can tell us all about Bijan, and then we'll throw it to you, Keith, and you can tell us all about Algier, because I think they're both going to eat.
Yeah, I don't think this is a hot take. This is – Penix is, you know – dealing with injury. We don't really know what's going to happen. They're going to hand the ball off a lot. And Bijan Robinson is absurdly good. Miami's run defense is absurdly bad. And we're not getting the weather game where you can just kind of like stack the box because Cleveland can't throw the ball anyway. And then you have a ton of guys hitting Judkins immediately and whatnot. They still need to respect the guys like Drake London and whatnot. So this is a spot where Atlanta is probably just going to run down their throats. I think that, you know, Bijan's really good. I know Keith is on Algier. So I do think that you can also add Bijan's receiving. I have no problems with that. He'll get a couple dump balls. He can break those for big plays. And Miami's not really, you know, this absurdly good defense against running backs anyway. So, I think if I'm running one, I think it's Bijan. But I think that both are completely fine. And Keith, you can go on about Algier here.
Yeah, both is the play, I think, because Bijan's just going to shove it down their throat for two or three quarters. He's going to get to his 150 yards, and then they're going to give it to Algier to close out the game. We've seen this script from the Falcons several times before. Algier rushing attempts sitting at 9.5. He's went over that number in all three of their wins. He went over that number in the other game that they played within one score. So, and it's a, even to plus money right now on over 9.5 rushing attempts for Tyler Algier. It's not that I think that he's fantastic. I think he's a talented running back. He's certainly not Bijan Robinson, that's for sure. But I do think that the Falcons will preserve Bijan once that they're up multiple scores in the spot. And they're just going to turn around and hand it off to Tyler Algier to close out the game.
I know, obviously, you know, we all know parlays are being what they are, you know, very hard to hit and, you know, not EV positive. But it seems like this would be a pretty good parlay because they are very correlated and they're probably going to get a price that is not accounting for that, if I'm guessing. Because if Bijan does the job, then Algier is going to get his chance, right? Like, you know, one's not going to happen without the others. I'm going to take a peek at that because, I mean, that
you think it was negatively correlated just at first thought, but when you actually think a little bit further about it, you're absolutely right. Like, game script is the theory here, and in the positive game script, Bijan probably does a lot of the damage, which then allows them to give way to Algier,
right. Look at me. I'm thinking, like, I don't even know how to play chess, and I'm thinking like a chess player here.
I have something to say. I love how Atlanta uses Bijan. It's not often we praise offensive coordinators and how they use their players. Usually we're shitting on them and their terrible decisions. But the motion they use with him, he's in motion every single play. He's lining up outside. He's moving in the backfield. They're moving him back out wide. It is a nightmare to worry about him every single play, and it's awesome. And to back up your McCaffrey love from a game or two ago, Bales, out of any football player that has ran at least 50 routes, McCaffrey is 15th in target share in the entire NFL as a running back. 15th. He has a 24% target share. Bijan has an 18% target share, which is good enough for top 50, which is still pretty good for a running back. I mean, Bijan is in the CMC light kind of role in this Atlanta offense. It's not like maybe they'll dump it off to him in space. No, he is going to get the ball through the air. I like the receiving yards ladder for Bijan this week. He's so good. We know Miami can't tackle. I like his rushing yards a lot too, don't get me wrong. But he's an integral part of this pass game plan for sure. It's Drake London and it's Bijan Robinson. And Kyle Pitts just still kind of exists after a couple of good games. Ray Darnell Mooney's still trying to find his footing a little bit. Ray McLeod off the team or whatever happened. I don't even know what happened, right? Ray just gone. I haven't heard much about that. I haven't really looked for that news. But what I'm saying is he's a real weapon. It's not like, well, if the defense allows it or they have to check it down to him, maybe he'll get some catches. So I love Bijan receiving yards against this historically clueless Miami defense that we have this year.
All right. So now I have a four-dimensional chess question. If we're gonna parlay Algier and Bijan together, I think the Algier side is definitely the attempts.
Yes.
Agreed. I think that's definitely what you'd want to do. But for Bijan, do we want to go rushing yards or do we want to go total yards?
I stick total probably just because when you're getting as high of numbers that his are, because I don't think that you're just playing receiving. I think you're going to play the rushing, obviously. And when you're getting that high of a total, you're basically banking on more or less the big play. You need him to break some type of playoff. And I would rather just get all the touches encompassed against this type of defense, just versus the one.
Right. Yeah, I'm with that. It seems safer for parlaying. I mean, you can bet this any way you want to. It almost feels a little chalk. It feels almost too damn good to be true, and I hate those spots. Yeah. But same. I felt that way with Gaston last night, and he absolutely crushed. So I think it's like a don't overthink it spot here for Bijan.
Yeah, I mean, Miami, we're not talking like last week or the week before. It's been every single week. They cannot stop the run. And you have to, there's, you know, and again, this is narrative street here, but you really do get the sense that the Dolphins are kind of mailing it in at this point. You know, like it feels like they're just not there. Coming off, you know, they were in Cleveland last week, another road game. and the Falcons are good. I was a little disappointed the Falcons couldn't handle the Niners last week, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is a too good to be true spot. It feels like exactly just good enough to be 100% true. So yeah, I'm all right. I'm building parlays. That's all I know. All right. Anything else that in this game, or are we just sticking with the running backs here on the Falcons? I think that's it. That makes sense. All right. Giants and Eagles rematch from 2 weeks ago. Eagles 7.5-point favorites. Giants, you know, the total of 43.5. Giants get Slayton back, which it's not quite as good as getting Malik Nabers back, but it's a step in the right direction. But before we get started, I saw a great tweet. I wish I could remember who said it, but some Giant fan like put out there, you know, nothing. What could stop Jackson Dart and Cam's, you know, Scatabo? And somebody posted a glass door that says pull.
Pretty good.
Again, this is a game that no one really had much to say before we went in. I asked that question before AJ Brown was officially ruled out. I think Devonta Smith's props probably have gotten a little boost in the last hour or so. Him, Goddard, I mean, Barkley, like, I feel like Barkley's gotta at some point do something. I'll open the floor. Somebody scream something out here.
I've been trying to think who my favorite player comp is for Scataboo. And I feel like it's some combination of a more agile, like Mike Allstott, and I don't know, combined with Peyton Hillis, like the good Madden cover era Peyton Hillis, which lasted not extremely long. Yeah. Peyton Hillis, Cam Scataboo, and like a third player who's like kind of clinically insane to a degree. If we could mesh those three, you know, we were talking before the show about the diva wide receivers and just, you know, AJ Brown is a big tweeter and deleter. Who's the creep? Like, who's the most, what's the word I can use here? What running back has the most wide receiver diva qualities in the NFL? Do we have a take on that? Does anybody even come to mind? Or are they just either nuts or humble? I mean, Scataboo is, you know, good story, right? Not heavily, you know, he kind of has a cool story with where he played and everything. Seems like a cool guy, but he's a bowling ball, man. I don't know. It's been fun to watch. And now with AJ Brown out, I think they're super live again. I feel like this is a very public-y thing where people are going to throw money on the Giants with the 7 points without AJ Brown. But I don't think the Eagles are just fixed. I mean, whoop-de-doo. They beat the Vikings that we watched on primetime, and the Vikings in that Eagles game settled for many field goals, and they're a straight disaster right now. So I don't think the Eagles are just fixed. You know, we saw this offense without AJ Brown before he came there, you know, with Devontae acting like the alpha, and it wasn't fantastic. Devontae coming off a couple of really good weeks, by the way, love him as a player. Think he's more of like a very high 1B option than an alpha. So I haven't even looked at the lines yet, but I would almost imagine if they were any type of smart in Philly that they're going to have to throw the ball to Saquon Barkley a little bit more, you know, than we've seen this year. Yeah, he definitely needs to get going on the ground. But I mean, does anybody have a guess on what his receiving lines were opening up at? Because I feel like that's my angle for this one. He's got to be the focal point of this one.
I would assume he's right around like 15.5 in that range.
Let's see. Anyway, that's just my initial. Yeah, wow, it's like you've done this before. 15.5 on Caesar, 15.5 on Caesars. I mean, that's a fun one. I mean, Jeff, you kind of said it. They're going to have to get the run game going eventually, right? I mean, that's the key. Like, get this guy the ball in space in other ways, especially when you're down and your biggest playmaker, not named Saquon Barkley. I don't know. Maybe there's a theory this week or, a theme with the receiving yards of these elite running backs. I mean, Barkley's incredible when they get him the ball in space, so I like this one a lot too. All right, I'm done. I'm done rambling here.
I like.
How about? Oh, go ahead, Justin.
I like Hurts. I think Hurts is like underrated. I don't know if like underrated is the right word at the moment, but like everyone's acting like he's like a bottom five quarterback in the NFL. It's not true. Obviously, we have all the info to know that. He's been throwing the ball relatively well. Like, he's been hitting his lines and whatnot. I understand that AJ Brown being out is not great. But I mean, the Giants pass defense also isn't great. The only thing that was really stopping me from I guess definitely using Hurts this week is obviously the spread's so wide, but it feels like they're kind of going to need to rely on him a little bit. I think that you can take pretty much any of Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, even I guess Doxson if you want, assuming his number's relatively low. I don't actually know what it's at right now. Any of them feel fine. I don't necessarily know which one I would like the most, which kind of is why I would shift to Hurts, especially because I do agree with you that getting the ball to Saquon in space makes a lot of sense when you're in this type of situation. But like we know that New York doesn't have a good secondary. They give up a ton of yards through the air. And I don't know. I don't know if I can side with New York. Like, I just don't know. I know they keep playing teams hard and whatnot. And like last week they should have beat Denver too, which is like an impressive win. But I don't know. This just kind of feels like a get right spot for Philly, who just saw Dart. Like we need to keep in mind, he's still a rookie, and like it's always hard to kind of game plan against the guys that don't have a ton of film. We saw it like when CJ Stroud went off as a rookie, guys that are starting like their first year and stuff. It's hard to game plan against them at times. Philly just played them. Like if they can't make a game plan to slow down Scadaboo and Jackson Dart, then I don't really know what they're doing defensively. Like there's just no way the Giants offense has nearly as much success in this game.
Well, I think we'll find out. I mean, if Dart comes into this game and puts up a Dart-like game like he's been doing, I think it says a lot about him, right?
Yeah, I think Dart's really good. Dart was my favorite quarterback in this class. No shade to Cam Ward. I think Ward's good, but Dart was my number one. I think he's really good. I just also think like he's a rookie in the NFL.
Sure.
Like, you know, defensive coordinators, especially good ones, understand how to slow guys like that down, and like they just played him. They have all the film to know what's going to happen. Like I don't know. I feel like this is a spot where the Giants offense struggles.
Well, I mean, it's always the thing, right? The second game of the division series, mm-hmm. It's traditionally, you know, a lower scoring affair. I'm sorry, Keith, go ahead.
No, I just think those are good points, and maybe that helps make sense of a line that I'm seeing that wasn't making a lot of sense, and that's Jackson Dart's rushing yards. They're sitting at 36 and a half. He was over 50 in the three games before that Denver contest. Denver has allowed the fifth fewest rushing yards to quarterbacks on the season. They were playing with a lead for three quarters and not pushing. Obviously, that came back to bite them. Bales mentioned they just played them. He ran for 58 yards against them in the first matchup. 36 and a half. It just feels a little bit too low. Maybe it's just odds makers thinking that Philly's going to be able to take that away this time. I don't know, but that number feels low to me.
Yeah, how about Brandon Graham coming out of retirement? I wonder what kind of shape he's in. He's actually doing a little promo tour in the area down here. My buddy met him at a beer distributor at like a meet and greet a couple weeks ago. Said he was a really cool guy. But he has an alcohol, like I don't know if he co-founded it or he's branding it. It's called Crooked Tea. I guess it's kind of like hoop tea. I don't know if you guys have that wherever you are. So, you know, what kind of shape Brandon Graham in if he's out, you know, doing booze tours and doing promos and meet and greets? I don't know. But that's cool. I mean, you know, he was the heart and soul of that defense, you know, the last how many years. So I think that's an interesting storyline, too. Like, is he even going to play this week? I haven't been keeping up. But I do think it is pretty interesting here. You know, you have a young quarterback. I mean, you looked at that sideline after they melted down last week. I don't think there's a happy medium here. I feel like they lose by 28 or they take the Eagles right down to the final play or two. I don't think there's they hung around and they lost by 10. Like this is going to say a lot about the New York Giants and Brian Daboll. I mean, a lot of people are calling for his head and they've been for a while now. Their response is going to tell us a lot about the Giants culture and the state of that locker room, I think. I mean, just a catastrophic meltdown last week, but huge chance for redemption this week against the Birds.
I got a little breaking news here to the Primetime Props newsroom. Justin Carlucci apparently has ascended to heaven.
Dude, I was just
Look at that. Well, bear with me, folks. Can you at least hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
I can hear you fine.
Yeah. Say hello to St. Peter while you're up there. Put in a good word for me.
Right back.
For the, you know, I'm Jewish, but you know, you never know. You got to cover all your bases. That sun, man, it was a, that's a powerful star, as it turns out. Really washed it right out. All right, well, we're going to keep moving here. Luch will be back with us in a minute. To New Orleans, where the Saints are only 4.5-point underdogs against the visiting Bucks. Spread total sitting at 46.5. Again, we pregame talking about this. Nothing really jumped out at anybody. I think we can keep going to Chris Olave. I mean, is that somebody tell me why I'm right or wrong on that? Keith, you nodded, so you do talk.
Yeah, I've been on Olave receptions several weeks. He has one of the best target shares in the NFL. New Orleans has done a decent job of keeping up with teams, so I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, I even like in DFS, like I'm trying to jam in, you know, all these top running backs. You know, you could put a little Rattler, Olave, Shaheed team together and, you know, close your eyes. Because it's I think that, you know, the Saints have – they've played for a team that clearly is lacking in talent, they've played not terrible. And Rattler has been I'll say more than serviceable. Right, like I think that, you know, there's a handful of teams out there right now that prefer, that would like to get their hands on Spencer Rattler instead of what they currently have.
I'll tell you what the problem with Olave receptions is over 5.5 is massively juiced,
yeah,
and then you got to go to 6.5 and 7's a bit of a tough ask for me.
His yards? They've opened up the offense a little bit with them. You know,
they have been targeting him down the field a little bit more. I was on that against the Bears and it hit. 62.5 I'm seeing out there for the receiving yards.
All right. That's doable, I think. Justin, is there anything that catches your eye in this game at all?
Yeah, I like Tampa Bay a little bit. I didn't really mention anyone because I haven't really figured out what exactly I want to play. I think that basically their receivers, potentially tight end, are the options that you want to use. Igbuka, you know, feels pretty obvious. I think, like, we kind of know what's happening with him. But then you also have Tez Johnson taking on a much bigger role. It feels kind of like he's I don't want to say taking over for, like, Sterling Shepard, because, like, they're different styles and they're both playing. But it feels kind of like he jumped Shepard a little bit, and Shepard's kind of lower on the totem pole than Tez Johnson. So I think that Igbuka or Johnson are both relatively interesting. And then you obviously have Otten, and, you know, he's only set at 34.5 yards. He's gone over 50 in 3 straight. They still obviously, Mike Evans done for the year. Chris Godwin still hurt. So I think you can kind of choose between those three. If I had to rank them right now, it'd be tough, but I think I would probably go Otten, Igbuka, Johnson. But again, I don't feel like super strong about one against the other. So I just think that this passing game is going to be relatively well. And if the Saints play them well and Tampa can kind of throw the ball throughout the entire game, I don't really think that New Orleans is really going to have too much presence in their secondary to slow them down.
Maybe what's Baker's yardage at?
I wanted to be on Igbuka quite a bit, but numbers at 74.5, it just feels a little bit rich for me on Igbuka, just because without Evans and Godwin, like, there's some risk of systematic failure here. Baker is at
Joe Flacco numbers. I'd rather have Flacco at that number, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all their numbers are up there. So, yeah. I mean, it's the Saints. It makes sense. I don't think there's a ton of value left.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that the Saints are getting a little. It's weird. I think the spread feels right to me. The props feel too high to me. Right. Based on the spread, I think the props should be a little.
Yeah, like, is New Orleans really going to be able to push them? If they can, then I feel the props are fine. But
yeah, that's how I feel. I guess I looked at it, but didn't remember where the spread was at. And when Jeff said 4.5, I'm like, that's not wide. Like, it's right. Enough, but it's not really an overly wide spread. And, like, if Tampa's throwing for 4 quarters, I don't think New Orleans stops them. I do agree. I this feels like the type of game where they could just dominate New Orleans. Division games always play a little bit harder. So I guess that could be a reason that it's only 4.5, but Yeah, I don't know. I like the passing game for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think the total is 46.5, which is not nothing. I mean, that gives the Saints three touchdowns, you know, right off the bat. So, I don't know. This maybe this game has a little bit of surprise factor in it, where, like, you know, it's a 34-27 type, you know, back and forth. That would be fun.
I like Kamara receptions as well. Sitting at 3.5, there's a plus 104 out there on FanDuel. That looks pretty good to me. We know the Bucs are very stout against the run. I think New Orleans is going to be thrown at a ton in the spot. Kamara on the short dump offs in lieu of the running game. And then if they are in comeback mode and the pass volume ticks up, like 3.5 receptions sounds pretty good for Kamara.
I kind of like Spencer Rattler. The fact that the spread is much closer than maybe, you know, we anticipated makes me a little nervous. Very sad statistic here from fantasy points. They've only played 13 snaps this year when leading by 7 points or more. 13 snaps. We're almost in November. As it is, they're passing at a top half of the league in neutral situations. As it is, we know Tampa Bay is a funnel defense. 212.5. I think Rattler's covered this in 5 games. I'm not a game log counter guy usually, because that's typically when it feels like you get in trouble, when you're like, well, he did this in over 60% of his games, you know, why aren't we going there? I do think the spread being a little late is a little scary, but I think he'd get there, especially since he's kind of developed a little rapport with Olave recently, which is nice to see, like you guys were mentioning. So kind of like Rattler in this one.
Am I the only one every time I hear Olave's name for the last, you know, ever since I've heard Olave's name when he was at Ohio State, I automatically start going, Olave.
Probably.
Oh. Am I the only one? Okay. Just try.
I've never done that one.
All right. Well, now I promise you will, because now that I put it in your head. Let's go. Let's get out of here before I make a complete fool out of myself and head to Indianapolis. 14.5 points. The Colts are favored over the Titans. 46.5 total. Bales, I know you like Taylor. Who doesn't? But you also like Cam Ward here?
Yeah, I think that I think they play well together. I think obviously in Indianapolis gets the lead. They ride Taylor. Then you have Tennessee throwing the ball. Cam Ward, it didn't look great early in the season. Obviously, you know, he struggled quite a bit, but it keeps his numbers way down. He's gone for 250 plus in 2 of his last 3. Like, he looks way better. I believe Calvin Ridley was ruled out, which, you know, obviously sucks, but how much of a difference at this point is Calvin Ridley making? Like, I'm not just going to jump off Ward because he's out. And obviously Indy has really been blowing teams out, which leads them to throw the ball against them, but they've given up plenty of passing yards. We also have like the situation where, like, one thing people don't talk that much about, especially in like types of games like this, teams back off. Once Indy gets this huge lead, they're going to back off defensively. Like, you don't play, I don't want to say as hard as you can, because obviously all the players out there are still giving it their all and whatnot, but you play different styles of defense. You just don't give up. You start playing prevent. You don't give up any of those huge plays, but who cares when you constantly are getting chunk plays down the field? They add up. And realistically, we could see Indy back off, I don't want to say pretty quick, but a lot sooner than most teams. And, you know, Tennessee can get that garbage time. I think Ward is more than viable to pick up some garbage time passing yards. And he's still set at, like, basically 205 yards. It's a little light for a dude that's, you know, just going to be throwing the ball a ton, because Indy, they should be up realistically like 3 touchdowns at some point in this game, if we're being real.
And, you know, I'll tell you, if you think Ward can go for 250, I mean, honestly, even if you think Ward goes for 205, the overs on all 4 on Chig, Dyke, Ellick, and Gunner, all of them, like, you could make an argument for the over, right?
Yeah. So my problem is, like,
which one is the problem?
Yeah, you have no idea.
They're so small. Look at those numbers. Look at how small those
are. Yeah, I know, but you have no, like, Okonkwo last week was in this incredible spot. And he didn't have a catch. I would
I think we're going to see a lot of Gunner, yeah.
There. Like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like Ward. Like, I think this passing attack is going to put up yards, but, like, I don't have the slightest clue of what guys are going to catch the ball. And realistically, like, Tennessee has guys that can make big plays. So it's like you only need a couple of those, and then like that very specific unknown guy. I don't like, you know what I mean when I say unknown guy. Like he makes the big play, he gains all these yards, and it's like, cool, that was the perfect ladder spot if you happen to get it correct. But like, I don't, that's just why I like Ward more. I feel like I don't know what's going to happen with the receivers and tight ends. I do know that if they go off, it's coming from Cam Ward, though.
I hope that this miserable franchise doesn't ruin this guy, because yes, everyone's seen some of the meme throws. He has made some unbelievable throws, though, in the same right with nobody. Nobody proven. They have no number one. You're right. They have some guys that are very young that have some explosiveness. I like Gunnar Helm long term. I like DK long term. I like Isle Manor long term. Who's the now, though? It's so tough. Like you said, last week, they spread out the ball like crazy. 14% target share for Isle Manor. Same thing for Gunnar Helm. Van Jefferson had 11%. DK had 11%. Those are five targets. The volume is everywhere. So I'm with you on that. Unless it's 40 to nothing, and it could be. It damn well could be 40 to nothing at some point in this game. Cam Ward will be out there, though, because every rep is integral. At the same token, he's getting killed back there, absolutely slaughtered. Like, Bill Callahan either lost his magic touch or he just couldn't fix this abomination of an offensive line that the Titans have. I don't know. I don't even know how Holtz is the OC who doesn't even call the plays. Like, Brian Callahan gets demoted and they give it to the quarterback's coach. So what the hell is your freaking job? How do you accidentally get important if you're an offensive coordinator? I can't call the effing plays. It's absurd. If they ruin Cam Ward, I might have to be a free agent as a fan, because this guy has it. He's working with nothing here, and he's going to hit the over, though. I don't know who's going to get the ball, but he's going to hit the over. Like, it's just brutal. I will leave you with this. Jonathan Taylor is plus 600 to score three times. What a baby number.
That can't be two times.
I thought you were going to say two, and I was like, that is
plus 140. Plus 140 for two. That's,
and since I've been tracking that, I think that is the lowest odds of any running back I've seen this year. He had a plus 165 number a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who it was. I wish there was a four number. I can see him.
There is 2,500.
I also think that
for real.
It feels weird because we've already seen Daniel Jones take multiple 1 yard touchdowns. We've seen Tyler Warren go in and take the, what was it, a 2 yard, a 1 yard touchdown. It's not like they get inside the five and they're just like, here's Jonathan Taylor 800 times until he scores. Like, they're giving it to several guys, and we're still can't even get a reasonable number on Jonathan Taylor there.
I think the whole, you know what I think is crazy? I mean, you know, obviously we're not talking about like the futures here, but like, the Colts are the best team in the NFL, and nobody's talking about them.
Well, they'll be talking about them this week when they hang 50 on Tennessee.
They should be undefeated. They should have beat the Rams a couple weeks ago.
You said that, what was that, 3-4 weeks ago? Yeah. You were the first one to buy into that, and there are still plenty of people out there. You've got me convinced. I've always been a believer in Steichen as a play caller. I wasn't necessarily a believer in Daniel Jones, but we've seen it long enough that I kind of have to be at this
point. Daniel Jones MVP is – it's on the way.
It's locked, dude.
It's locked in now. It is on the way.
Yeah, Jeff, we had Big T on the show last week, and he was like, he said something to the effect like, oh, I don't want to make a ridiculous claim about an MVP bet on the show. I'm like, buddy, I guess you haven't watched our show. The lotto numbers for some of these futures. Boy, I would do unfathomable things to have Shane Steichen call plays for Cam Ward. Like, for the love of God. I mean, it's going to be brutal. And, you know, it's at the point where you look at, like, I'm sorry, when Amir Abdullah is only plus 340 to score, I mean, things are going to get ugly real quick down there. We'll see. Let's move on here.
We got one more to go. It's Denver for the highest total game of the week. The Broncos are 3.5-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. 50.5 is the total there. Bales, we'll start with you. We're going back to the well with Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'm running Bo Nix here. I think you can pair him with several ways. I also think to be fair, I do think that J.K. Dobbins' rushing yards is set too low. He constantly is hitting that. He's a big play, explosive back, which still 2025. It's been weeks of me saying this. I still can't believe that I'm saying it, but he is. I do think that the best way to go about this game, though, is Bo Nix, and then you pair him with Courtland Sutton. I mean, Sutton is just kind of the I don't want to say under the radar guy. Like, he's not under the radar, but no one gives him the love that he deserves. They haven't pretty much ever throughout his entire career. Take away the game against the Jets where he only had three targets, and he's gone for 80 plus in four straight, constantly getting fed targets. I know that they do like Troy Franklin, but Sutton's kind of the big play guy that you want here. And I think that him and Bo Nix together make a lot of sense. And then, like, if you're feeling like you think that this game's going to shoot out a little bit, throw in J.K. Dobbins rushing, because it's a low total. It's like low 70s yet. And he's consistently hitting it with Bo Nix and Sutton both going over. Like, this offense can handle all three of their props currently, because they kind of keep setting them just like a little bit too low. And now, obviously, they get the matchup against Dallas, which basically everyone wants every single week, because Dallas will put up points and their defense is like non-existent, basically.
I think finally Evan Ingram is kind of sneaky. Played a season high in snaps last week. Denver gives up the second highest target share to players lined up in line. I mean, it's not by a huge margin, but still accounts for something. So kind of like Evan Ingram a little bit here. Let me check his touchdown odds, but go ahead, Keith. Sorry.
I just agree with everything Bill said. All overs against Dallas has been very profitable this season. Like, they've been getting torched through the air, on the ground. Any way that you want to attack Dallas, you can. I love his Nix passing yards. I love Sutton receiving yards. Bo Nix's rushing yards are sitting at 23.5. Like, this is a guy who runs often. He's had 20 in five games this season. He's had 48 last week. He's got a 33 out there. Like, Dallas has allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league. They've allowed the most passing yards to quarterback in the league too. So they just give up a ton of yards. So any over that you want to take on Denver, I would not talk anybody out of anything.
I keep waiting for like the shoe to drop and for a team to just run the ball, like, you know, like nonstop against Dallas, and as a result, like, keep the score down. I don't know if this is the week that happens, but I of all the things I've heard, I think Dobbins feels the safest to me to get the job done here. But yeah, I mean, this is, again, this is the 425 hammer, and all eyes are gonna be on this game as usual. If there's nothing, Justin, you got something, or are we going to best bets?
I just think that, you know, we'll tell a lot about this Denver offense who, you know, we've seen put up a ton of points. I mean, this is obviously probably by far the best defense they're going to see. So I'll be impressed if they hang a big number against Denver. Of course, we saw the Giants have a crazy first half against them last week. But, you know,
Dak's playing great. You're right. But what you're saying about the last week's game, it's interesting, right? The narrative going into this week would be a lot different if the Giants like closed it out and won 28-6, right? Then you know, I think we'd be singing a different tune here about the Broncos offense and like what they, you know, can and won't be able to do. But I think this is not real analysis. I feel like this game is not, it doesn't feel as guaranteed to me to go crazy as past Dallas games. It's tough to go to Denver, like, you know. Like, we're going to learn a lot about Dallas's like top flight offense this week. Are they going to go to Denver and put four or five touchdowns on the board? If so, then I'm an idiot. But like, it's going to Denver is not easy ever, you know. So we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, you said it. Dak's playing at a really high level, and he has elite weapons.
Yeah,
CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Ferguson's been playing awesome. They have too many weapons to stop. I think I really do think they can come in and put up three or four touchdowns.
I agree with that. And one of the big things that I agree with is you can pick and choose what you kind of want to stop. And then for Denver, Riley Moss has to cover someone. And it's most likely going to be George Pickens. I'll take Pickens all day against Riley Moss. I think that they're going to target it a ton. CeeDee Lamb, I don't think is going to get completely shut down. I think that Lamb is a good enough receiver to beat any defensive back in the NFL.
Well, Surtain does not follow into the slot.
Lamb doesn't. Yeah, but Lamb hasn't played an excessive.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not an excessive amount. He right. will go to the slot. And when you do that, I'm wondering if they're going to kind of put them in this weird spot where when Lamb goes into the slot, they move Surtain onto Pickens, or if they're not even going to be able to do that type of thing because you don't know where Lamb's going to line up.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think for the
almost 30% from the slot for Lamb. So, I mean, he does go in there for sure. And if they want to get him away from Surtain, that's how they can do it.
But then you also just like now imagine 70% George Pickens against Riley Moss. That is
I certainly am not disagreeing with you there.
Yeah, a lot could happen. This game probably goes 35-34, and we go. And who's Dallas play the following week? Because let's just keep the train rolling. All right, we're gonna go around the horn here. We're gonna give our best bets, and Luch is gonna take us out of here. I'll start. I said it earlier. I'm sticking with it. Joe Flacco over 35.5 attempts. I think they're it's gonna be 3rd-and-1. They're gonna be throwing the ball. Like I just see no reason to not throw the ball against the Jets, especially with no Sauce. Gardner's ruled out with a concussion. So, I think the Bengals are going to want to win. They're going to want to hang some points. They're at home. They want to keep this train rolling. I love Flacco to throw over 35.5 times.
No one said anything, so I figured I'd give you the gong and we'd break the silence. So, I'll go next. Hope I don't take someone else's pick here. I'll go with Bijan, but I'll go with the receiving yards. 18% target share. He is CMC light in that offense. Miami can't tackle. I wouldn't be shocked if he had 60 or 70 receiving yards. Hopefully he does it early because this game might get ugly, though. But I think it's one of the more appealing alt-line/ladder plays on the slate.
I'll jump in so Bales doesn't steal mine. I know he's on him too. But this is the homer pick. Your team sends a top 10 pick on a tight end. You watch the tight end that was picked right after him just absolutely go off all season long. It's Colston Loveland week. Over 29.5 receiving yards. Take the ladder up to 60 on him. If he does not get involved this week against a terrible Ravens defense, a very injured Ravens defense, the Bears defense isn't going to be able to slow down Lamar Jackson at all or Derrick Henry. The Ravens are going to put up a ton of points. The Bears should be throwing in comeback mode. Loveland smashes here.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to go with, if you're playing on one of the fantasy point sites, I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. He's set right around 22 fantasy points, over 22 fantasy points. If you want like a very specific sports books type deal, Cortland Sutton over 61.5 receiving yards. I'll tackle either one of those two. Both of them are great.
Awesome stuff, gentlemen. All of our content at Props is free, including this awesome live odds comp tool you've been looking at for the past hour. We have a loaded NBA slate tonight. Before we get to week eight on Sunday, ton of basketball coverage today, tomorrow, and every day. The NBA is back, and we have a lot of fun here. So I will take us out of here. Give us a like. Give us a follow. You can catch this on Spotify and Apple. That's Jeff. That's Justin. That's Keith. I am also Justin. Have a great weekend, everybody, and good luck.